Yeah, so it actually started about 10 years ago. I wrote a 40th anniversary book called When the Goal That United Canada, which was basically stories from where people were all across the country and where they were when Paul Henderson scored and kind of what it meant to them. And so as the 50th anniversary approached, a dear friend who's a hockey historian said, why don't we do a 50th anniversary book? But this time we'll do a little bit more broader, and we'll include some Soviet perspectives and things that happened before and after the series to give more broader context. And hopefully, you know, these stories would also get pushed down to the younger generations who aren't familiar with what an incredible time in Canadian history it was.
There's lots documented about that great series of 1972, and a lot of us remember where we were. In terms of writing this book, what stood out to you? What fascinated you, or what did you find new about that 72 series?
Well, some of the things that we did that are a little bit different, you know, one is we spoke to a number of Canadians who were in Moscow, so they had just tremendous stories of what it was like being over there during the Cold War. That was kind of one section. Another section is, you know, again, we spoke with a number of the Soviet stars, including Tretiak and Yakushev, but also a guy who was extremely helpful. We affectionately call him the Russian stick boy, and he was basically behind beside the Russian bench through the whole series. So his perspective was tremendous. And then, again, because we want to, you know, pass these stories down to younger generations, we also interviewed Paul Henderson's grandson, as well as Tretiak's grandson. And, in fact, we got them to meet via Zoom virtually for the first time ever, and that was kind of a cool experience as well.
We're with Sean Mitten, the author of When Canada Shut Down, dealing with the 1972 summit series between Team Canada and the Soviet Union. When you did these stories for the book, Sean, what stood out to you in terms of something that you didn't know or something that you found out for the first time?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of them would have just transpired, actually, 50 years ago. So one of the reasons why we call it When Canada Shut Down was, you know, not only did the people on the back end of the series we get so focused on the series, but also on the front side. And so not everybody remembers the first two games of the series actually happened on a Labor Day weekend in 1972. And in the introduction, we joke that, you know, Canada was so focused on the beginning of the series that it would have been a great time for a bank heist. And at the end of the intro, we said, well, you know, in our research, we never found any bank robberies or anything. But what we did find was the largest art heist in Canadian history on that Saturday night, and it happened at the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts, and there was 18 pieces of art that were stolen, as well as jewelry and figurines, and they never found the robbers, they never recovered the artwork, and today it's known as the Skylight Caper.
Sean, when you look at this beyond the eight games in the series and what was a fascinating time to be alive, certainly from a sporting standpoint, how important is it to have this documented from all the angles that you've taken here?
Well, I mean, it's really important because, you know, I think a lot of people who we interviewed said this will never happen again. You know, the fact that Canada has this collective memory, most countries don't have this positive collective memory that happens in their country history. I mean, in the U.S., you know, we might think of something like 9/11 or Martin Luther King. We remember those things collectively, but they're not necessarily positive events. And for Canada, I mean, when you look back in 2000, the summit series was voted one of the top 10 moments in Canadian history. And in fact, it was probably the most recent of all the ones that were voted on. So it really speaks to the impact it had on the country. And again, for the younger generations to understand, like, why would they bring TVs into classrooms to watch a game? I mean, those things don't happen these days.
No, they certainly don't, and I'm glad they did in 1972. A last couple of questions for Sean Mitten,
sure.
The author of When Canada Shut Down. How difficult was it to fact-check some of the memories that you would get face-to-face? And I'm not saying that people would exaggerate, but over the passage of time, some things would be blurred in terms of their accuracy. Did that present a challenge for you in writing?
You know, it's a good question because we did try to fact check some things. We had access to a lot of different newspapers. We had, you know, access to multiple sources. So I'll give you one example, actually. One of the stories that we found, and this was from a gentleman's daughter, was that there was a hockey player named Jim Nielsen, who was actually a First Nation player. He played for the New York Rangers, you know, back in that era. and he was invited to come play for Team Canada 72. The challenge for him was that he got injured during the Stanley Cup playoffs against Boston, and so he wasn't able to accept the invitation, but it would have been a great, you know, representation, you know, from that community. And we were able to fact check in the newspapers. There was a reporter who you know, had broke that story as well, or broke that information. So, you know, those types of things were very helpful. There was also a lady who we found in, who was a Canadian in Moscow, who actually kept a diary. And it's an incredible diary over her 10-day period there with her husband. And it was over about 7,000 words. So, you know, as you can imagine, it's great to get people's memories and recollections. But for her to have journaled all this in over 7,000 words, it was just incredible. And we have probably about 2,000 of those words in our book.
Isn't that something? And the Jim Nielsen story I'm hearing for the first time. I remember him playing for the Rangers, but I'd never heard that story till this very moment. Finally, will you ever forget where you were when Paul Henderson scored on September 28th, 1972?
Yeah, well, I was, you know, I was young at that time. I was 3 years old, and part of the reason why I'm so passionate about this project is I've, over the years, I've gotten to be friends with Paul Henderson, and, you know, I've certainly learned a lot. But I think one of the things that I learned from this project, if you will, is, you know, I would never have asked my mom the question where she was, you know, when Henderson scored. And because of this project, I asked that question, and she, you know, maybe follows sports a little bit, but not a real hockey fan. And she had a very visceral memory of, you know, looking out the window, listening to the game on radio, and having tears come down her eyes when Henderson scored. And so those types of stories, you know, that surprised me to hear that from my mom. And I know that, you know, a lot of people haven't asked their parents or grandparents, you know, that question as well, but I think it's an important one for the country.
Well, Sean, all the best with the book. It was a great series, and I'm sure these are going to be great memories for those of us that lived it and for those that are seeing it for the first time. Thanks for this.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.